Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi, and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. This week's subject is Peyronie's disease, what it is, how it affects men's potency, and what to do about it if you suffer.
If you have erectile dysfunction, then in 5 years or 10 years, you might develop cardiovascular disease, you know, heart attack or stroke. So it's quite serious. You need to look at your lifestyle.
My guest is physiotherapist Mr. Leon Almashin of Man's Matters. So please do stay tuned for a great show. Thank you. Before I introduce my guest, I just want to tell you about something that I'm up to. As well as the perfect face for radio, I also have the perfect body for radio, and I've decided to try and do something about it. I now have a Watt Bike exercise bike, and I'm using it. I'm doing a program of exercise. It's called the Health Beginner 2. It's a program of exercise on the Watt Bike app. I'm working out or doing sessions 3 times a week. That's going to go on for about 3 months in total. I'm about a month in already, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm feeling like I have more energy and feeling good. And you can join me too, if you like. I am doing the exercises on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and I'm streaming them on my Relax Back UK YouTube channel. So you can join in. You can come along. You don't need a Watt bike. You can have any sort of exercise bike. You don't have to join in and do the same exercises. You can just come and have a gentle pedal. There's quite often a bit of gossip as well, so it can be sort of a gentle pedal and a gossip. The exercise sessions last from around 15 minutes to, so far I think the longest one has been 27 minutes, but you know, it varies depending what the app throws up at me, and it's really good fun. I've been enjoying it, so please do come along and have some fun with me. Come for a little pedal. So I am chatting with Mr. Leon Almashin of Man's Matters. And the first thing I said to him was, thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here and help men to understand more about men's health.
Yeah. No, we're going to talk a lot about that. But let's just talk a little bit first about how it all started. So you studied in London as a physiotherapist. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. What brought you, led you to do that to start off with?
Okay, so since I was a kid, I've always been interested in sort of inventions and anatomy. So I used to break my toys, take the dynamo and create my own little inventions. At the same time, I used to dissect little animals. Not anymore, I love animals. I have a dog myself. But what I did is I wanted to know how things in the body works. So that led me to go take the medical path, basically, and St. George's Medical School in 2006, which I qualified, I learned to dissect human bodies and see what's inside and how they work.
Right.
So that's my interest, basically.
Okay. So you were then progressing your career as a physiotherapist, and you got interested in helping men who were suffering from erectile problems, essentially. That's quite a leap. How did that happen?
Right, so I'm a neurophysiotherapist. So,
okay, just explain what that is.
It's a division of physiotherapy where you actually specialize in brain damage, nerve connections, rehabilitation, that sort of section of physiotherapy. I've always been fascinated in the human's brain, basically. And in 2013, I went to a network event in Germany. I met a professor there. And he was an orthopedic surgeon who was interested in regenerative medicine, which I am the same. And we talked about this problem. A lot of my male patients suffer from, you know, a disconnection from the brain to the penis. So they have, why can't I have my erections back, they say. So he said to me, have you heard of focused shockwave therapy? It's used to break kidney stones for decades. And now they use it to break microplaque, generate a new blood vessel in the penis and new nerves. I said, oh, that's interesting. So I was the first in the UK in 2013 to bring the first focused shockwave, which was a brand called Richard, it's a German company, Richard Wolf. Now I'm with Storz Medical, a different company. It was great. And I found myself in a niche market where lots of men come to see me for erectile dysfunction.
And you were helping a lot of men. I've just got to say, from a sort of a layman's point of view, something called shockwave therapy being used on the penis. Got to say, sounds, just from a layman's point of view, a little bit on the scary side.
Okay, I agree. The name shockwave, it's like shocking, like a, like electrical shocks in the brain, that sort of thing people associate it with. It's not. Shockwave is actually low energy and can be high energy sound waves.
Okay.
Travel through the tissues, break microplaque. It can cause a safe microtrauma. Just like you go to the gym, you do a workout, lift heavy weight. You don't build muscle at that time. You actually tear muscles. Only when you sleep and relax, you rebuild the muscle. So that kind of similar thing.
And hey, it's already been used for a long time in other parts of the body for breaking down, kidney stones.
Kidney stones. Also in cardiology, they use it to revascularize the heart after a heart attack to create new blood vessels.
So it's just using something that's been known about, used for a long time somewhere else.
That's right. Let me explain a bit more what is shockwave. Now, shockwave is the same waves you get from an earthquake. It shatters windows. It's high-energy sound waves. The same waves you get from an airplane breaking the sound barrier, sonic boom. Or when you hear thunder, that's shockwave. But it depends how controlled you want it to be. So in a very low level, for example, ultrasound for babies, this is very, very low level sound waves.
Yeah. People are familiar with ultrasound, just to, you know, that's for getting a scan of a baby, see how the baby's doing, etc.
Really harmless. Then you have the next level, the old physio sort of thermal ultrasound to increase blood flow into that area temporary. It's called thermal ultrasound.
Yeah, but that's thermal. So that implies heat.
That's right.
So it's got to be different from sound.
It creates heat. The sound waves themselves create heat.
Okay, I'm with you.
And then you have focused shockwave. Focused shockwave is actually much stronger sort of sound waves that create, break microplaque, generate new blood vessels.
Yeah? All right. No, this sounds good. So you had this spectacular new way of helping men, and you were, at that time, dealing with a specific problem when it comes to erectile dysfunction. That was Peyronie's disease.
Correct.
All right, so please tell us a little bit about kind of what that is, how it comes about, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So Peyronie's plaque or Peyronie's disease, I don't like to call it disease, actually, because people imply disease like infectious, contagious, you touch, you breathe it, you get infected. It's not. I like to call it condition. It's a condition.
Right. That makes perfect sense. I think I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So basically, if you have your body overheal itself, so you have an injury to the penile tissues, you have little scar tissues, and the body overheal itself. It lays more collagen, the wrong kind of collagen. And that creates a plaque. And that plaque depends on the shape of the plaque, where it is. It can bend the penis to the left, to the right, upward or downward. It can sort of act as a kink and a hose effect, and limit the blood flow to the penis, so you have some sort of erectile dysfunction and can cause pain in some cases, especially in the early stages. There are two phases to it. Okay. I can go into details later on that.
All right. So it can actually cause pain?
Absolutely, yeah. So the early... Let me go to the two stages of Peyronie's. So you have the early stage...
Before we do that, I'm just going to rewind you a little bit to some of the causes, okay? So you mentioned potential accidents, trauma, so I mean that could be all sorts
of
things.
Put them in three categories to make it really simple. So the first category, trauma, sexual trauma or any kind of trauma. So it could be you're in the gym with a kettlebell and you hit your penis, unfortunately you create a plaque. It can be sexual trauma where your partner on top, get too excited, up and down, hit the wrong angle, ouch, bends, painful, creates a scar becomes a plaque. That's one category. The second category, the lack of blood flow to the penis. And I'm talking about severe erectile dysfunction. So 20% blood flow or really bad, no erections at all. And that creates fibrosis. The penis become fibrotic if there's no blood in the penis. The third category, genetics. So you're looking at, have you seen men with their fingers pinned down like this? You know, kind of, they can't open their hands fully.
I can't say I've noticed, actually.
Yeah, okay. Well, you probably will start noticing.
I'm not in your world. Yeah, now I'll start noticing.
Yeah. So you'll see those people with sort of this sort of called Dupuytren contracture or Dupuytren condition or disease. Now, this is a connective tissue disorder. And that, if they have it in their hands, most likely they'll develop it or become predisposed to Peyronie's in the penis, unfortunately. There is a link to Viking gene as well. Apparently, if you have a Viking gene, you're more likely to develop Peyronie's at some point if you injure yourself.
Okay, so we got trauma and genes. What about, is it related to any sort of medical conditions, potentially? I must admit, I did a quick ChatGPT last night, and a couple of things cropped up. You probably hate it when your patients start saying things like this. But the things that popped up were diabetes and hypertension, that there could be a link between those and Peyronie's disease.
Absolutely. Let me tell you why. I just answered that anyway earlier. So the lack of blood flow to the penis. I mentioned severe erectile dysfunction. Now, anyone with diabetes or high blood pressure, it will compromise your blood vessel in the penis. The penis have the smallest blood vessel. It's smaller than the ones in your heart and your brain. So they're the first to get damaged or blocked. High blood pressure damages blood vessels, especially in the penis. And, you know, diabetes, the same. It causes inflammation. So because of that, because you're going to end up with low blood flow to the penis, you're going to have fibrosis, Peyronie's.
Okay.
Makes sense?
So, in fact, when we were chatting about this before, you said that erectile dysfunction can actually be a precursor to some other stuff which is actually potentially more serious that could kill you.
I think, actually, erectile dysfunction is not just a bedroom problem. It's a health issue. So if you have erectile dysfunction, even if you didn't have Peyronie's, it's an early warning sign. It's actually medically confirmed now. If you have erectile dysfunction, then in 5 years or 10 years, you might develop cardiovascular disease, you know, heart attack or stroke. So it's quite serious. You need to look at your lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What about any medications? Can taking medications for other stuff sometimes bring it on? This is me, ChatGPT.
Okay. All right, damn and ChatGPT. Next I might do an interview with him. Or ChatGPT, not you.
No, it was interesting, but they did mention a couple of things. Beta blockers.
That's right.
And also anticonvulsants. I imagine taking those is probably pretty rare, but have you come across that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know why? Again, I'm going to go back to this. It affects the blood flow. So people on beta blockers, on antidepressant, they start developing erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And erectile dysfunction, you know, limits the blood flow to the penis, therefore fibrosis.
Okay, all right. Good, all right, let's move on a little bit to just how common this is. So, I mean, it's not a sort of thing that blokes chat about down the pub. Maybe it should be, but that might be another whole topic to have. But yeah, how common is this problem for men in general and different age groups as well?
Well, unfortunately, men with this condition, I've seen that for over 4,000 men so far, and I would say men suffer in silence. They feel ashamed, unfortunately, and they don't talk to anyone. And the survey indicates 9 to 10%, you know, and for example, in the UK, have Peyronie's. I think it's more than double. And the reason why I say this, over 4,000 men I've seen so far, half of them, they never spoke to their GP. Now, this survey taken by the local GPs in the UK. So if half the men I've seen, they have never spoke to anybody or their GPs, then I assume this is going to be more than 10%.
Right. So, okay, this is an impossible question, but I kind of sometimes I specialize in the impossible questions. So what, it could be kind of 20% of guys?
I think more than 20%.
Really? Okay. All right. So we've established what it is, and that it's actually quite a common problem. We have spoken a little bit about what causes it. Now, you've said it can hurt. One question we haven't yet covered, if you have Peyronie's, you say it can hurt, does the penis still work? Can it do what it's meant to do?
Yes and no. So it depends how bad the plaque developed or the condition developed. So let me go into, the condition goes into two stages, the active phase and the chronic phase. The active phase lasts about a year and a half, then becomes chronic or stabilized or matured. Now the active phase with a lot of inflammation, the body overhealing itself, laying down so much collagen, the wrong collagen, on top of each other. Okay? So with this, the longer the inflammation, the more damage. We don't know, we can't predict how bad the plaque is going to be, but most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, will get worse in that year. So in that phase where there's a lot of inflammation, inflammation causes pain. So that's the reason why you have pain. Now the problem with pain is, if you have pain in your penis, you can't have sex. Simple.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's going to be off-putting, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's just one side of it. The other side, if it looks deformed, if you wee and then you wee the other side, you're going to feel broken. You're going to feel, what's going on here? You know, you're going to feel scared, ashamed maybe, or disgusted. And you'll think, you overthink it. You will not talk to your friends about it. Because you think you go down the pub and people say, oh, it's too much information, or oh, that's disgusting, stop talking about it. Yeah. That's the thing you're going to be thinking about.
Yeah.
You might think, yeah, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, that probably leads on to a whole issue of other effects that having Peyronie's disease can cause, you know.
Sure. I'm just going to say, I need to continue with the chronic phase.
Yes, we'll come back to that. So continue with
Let me continue that. So you've got the active phase, which is the body overhealing itself, lots of inflammation going on, and we don't know how bad it can get. Yeah. Then after a year and a half, it becomes stable. No more inflammation or less inflammation. The deformity, whatever deformity we're going to get after a year and a half, stable. It's not going to get any worse. If it's bent 90 degrees or 180 degrees, it stays there. It's not going to get worse.
180 degrees, that's happened, has it?
Happened, absolutely. You have to have surgery for that. So 90 degrees or 30 degrees is a common one, okay? Then something else can happen, functionality. So the plaque itself is stabilized, which is normally 80%, 90% collagen, wrong collagen, and then 10%, 20% calcification, like a stone-like. It becomes more stony, more hard, the plaque, in the chronic stage. Then it becomes like a blockage to blood flow.
Right.
So yes, the curvature, the deformity stays the same, but it's not flexible. So if you have 30 degrees, and it can be flexible initially, so as you say, I mentioned earlier, can I use it still? Yes, you can, because it's flexible. If there's no pain, even better. But after 1 year and a half, this calcification gets more and more, it becomes rigid. It's not going to be flexible. If you're 90 degrees, sexual positioning become difficult, blood flow become difficult. There we are.
So you need to get some help from somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. So we touched on this a little bit. So apart from the physical problems, the obvious physical problems, they're going to be knock-on issues of, you know, confidence and potentially problems with relationships, this kind of thing. Do you see that in your patients? And do you end up being a counsellor as well quite often?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the mental impact of Peyronie's is bigger than ED even. Bigger. 80% of men with Peyronie report incidence of depression, anxiety, or sexual avoidance. So they start to avoid sex because they worry it might get worse. Mm-hmm. They're worried, you know, their partner might think, oh, that's disgusting. Or they feel ashamed, you know. Or that if they're going to go into a new relationship or a new dating sort of scene, they're not going to do it because they think, oh, what about if the partner will look at it and run a mile or feel disgusted? So there's sexual avoidance as a result and feeling shameful, mm-hmm. which is really bad.
No, I mean, but yeah, no, I can see this can affect many parts of blokes' lives, actually. Yeah, yeah, all right. You've treated people from all walks of life. I mean, men in general. Men come, you know, there's lots of different types of guys. You said earlier you treated 4,000 patients. Is that right?
4,000, that's right, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this is probably, again, another almost impossible question because obviously there's... You're dealing with medical stories here and you've got to be confidential.
That's right.
But can you sort of give any examples or types of examples of kind of some real success stories you've had?
Sure. Let me start with the recent ones. Okay. So the recent one, a lovely guy who suffered from Peyronie's for 9 years. So it's chronic stage. He had about almost 90 degrees almost curvature, but also erection was very bad. He's a married man, and it started to affect his marriage, his relationship. We saw him. I had to do some sort of... I'm going to talk about the treatment later, maybe. Different type of treatment. We treated him. And after the first treatment intervention, or the second, he was so happy. He got his erection 100% back, which is amazing. And he actually offered to do a video testimonial, which we have now. I haven't published it yet on the website, but it's there. And his degree of curvature gone down by 20 degrees, which is going toward the functionality. If we can get to 30 degrees and below, you're functional, mm-hmm. you know, and flexibility.
Okay.
So when it comes to, sorry, I'm just really fast here. I'm going to go into more detail, but I'll leave that for later. Let's go back to the patient. So this is one patient. Another patient, basically, he had more than 90 degrees angle, went down to about 20 degrees, and then his wife sent us a sort of a postcard saying we're on the second honeymoon. They're really happy, which is good.
Good. All right, so, you know, you can help guys. Maybe that's a good time to come on to different sorts of treatment. So you've spoken about the shockwave therapy, which is essentially sound waves, and you can correct me if I've got the wrong end of the stick, but the idea is this breaks up the plaque, allowing the blood vessels essentially to work as before. Is that more or less it?
Tell me more. Let me clarify this. Because people, there's a misconception. People think, oh, shockwave, break kidney stone, is going to break the plaque. Well, no, because the plaque itself is not a stone. As I mentioned earlier, it's 80, 90% scar tissue. It's like rubber. 10% calcification. Yes, shockwave will make it more flexible if it's the calcification in there and cause it makes it rigid, it makes it more flexible maybe, and shrinks and softens the plaque, but doesn't break the plaque.
Okay.
In fact, this is the ugly truth, I would say. And I tell every patient when they come to my clinic, first consultation, you're going to have to be honest with medical facts. Really important. I myself had cancer. I can talk about it later. And I really appreciate it. The honest sort of outcome of my treatment. So, is there a cure for Peyronie's? The answer is no, unfortunately. We tried everything, stem cells, surgeries. You know, my colleagues, the urologists, they did surgeries, and I haven't seen much improvement, really. There's no cure, but there is improvement. And sometimes big improvement, sometimes miracles. Out of 4,000 men I've seen, 10 men have completely 100% recovery, but that's a miracle, that's an average. I don't count that as an average. So the improvement. So we look at three things here in that order. Number one, to stop the condition getting worse. Priority. Number one priority. Number two priority, make the penis more functional. Stronger, harder, flexible. You can use it and enjoy it. You and your partner. Number three, to make it look as normal as much as possible as it was before. Mm-hmm. But in that order. Unfortunately, with surgical approach, in general, surgical, you will have straighter penis, maybe straight as an arrow, maybe, but less functional in some cases because you will lose length, sometimes up to 2 inches. You will sort of compromise nerves. With knives and scissors, you're going to cut some nerves. So there's they report 60% possibility of erectile dysfunction. Yeah. So that's not great for any man. So I would say, yeah. So we focus on improvement, not a cure.
Okay. And keeping away from surgery, based on what you've just said, seems like a very good plan for sure.
So I personally, I had myself cancer, and I say before I'm okay now. So I would say always, I personally always, when it comes to my body and the food I eat, okay, that's a personal thing, always look for non-invasive first approach. Then minimal invasive, then invasive if you have to. With food, I need to eat well, so I don't eat junk and rubbish because they have health, you know, sort of impact on me. When it comes to my ties, I can buy this from charity. It's not a problem. You know, but health and diet is very important to me. So yeah, non-invasive, non-surgical should be your first sort of intervention.
Okay. So with that in mind, what are the sort of potential, I nearly said cures, because let's rein back in, because you said cures, highly unlikely. What other treatments are available? We've got the shockwave therapy. Are there other things that you can offer?
Right, so yes, so we can use, PRP or growth factors injections. So that's actually something really works very well. And a year and a half ago.
What's that encouraging growth in? Blood vessels, is it?
Let me explain. So when you injure yourself, for example, and you bleed, what happens to the blood afterwards? It stops.
It clots,
and then you get scab. It heals.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing, exactly. So 9% of your blood component, called platelets, it's a healing agent, patrol the blood circulation that's there, only gets activated when you injure or traumatize yourself. They go to that signaled area, send signal to your own body's stem cell and growth factors and protein and immune system to repair that area. It's just the way it works. Now what we do, we take your blood from your arm, we spin it in a centrifuge machine, separate the red blood cells from the good plasma, the healing agents. So the 9% become 96% concentrated. Mm-hmm. There's a process where we mix it with some other stuff, the hyaluronic acid, non-cross-link, not the fillers hyaluronic acid, the other kind of act as a scaffold for the healing agent to stay in the penis and heal that region. So we take your blood, spin it. While we're spinning it, we have to shockwave the penis because you have to create some kind of safe microtrauma. So when you inject, they'll stay there and repair. If I take your blood and I inject you somewhere, let's say your shoulder, and you have back pain, they'll leave your shoulder and they go to your back pain because there's a higher signal.
Okay, all right.
So this process, injecting.
So where do you inject back the blood?
You don't inject back the blood. You inject back the plasma.
The plasma, okay.
The platelets and the growth factors, which in there. So what we do normally, we use tiny needles. The traditional way, they use big needle and they go different location and release some of that volume. I do it differently, so I do maybe 7 to 9 tiny, like a weight loss jabs or insulin needle, tiny ones. We can use numbing cream if we have to. Most time we don't have to. And then we analyze whether
that's into the penis, is it?
Into the penis. It's not painful. It's a little sting, but it's not, you know, it's not. Sounds scary, of course, but it's not. So we do an injection in the plaque and around the plaque. That creates microchannel, weaken the structure. You release the growth factors. And then with a home regimen, so we get people to use a stretcher device. It's a medical stretcher, which they actually bends it flat in the flaccid stage, the opposite way. So if it bends upward 90 degrees, you go the opposite way every day. That's the regimen. And there's a special gels and growth factors we can use to help the healing process.
And this happens during like a one-day visit? Half an hour visit,
right. Okay.
Couple of hours, how long does this
there
take?
There are many treatments we have, as in regenerative medicine treatments. It all depends on your presentation as a patient, as a client. It really depends on what you come with. We have to do physical examination, that's important. And what we do is, you know, depending on the physical examination and the medical history, we will decide what's the best for you. Is functionality the main problem? Is it the way it looks the main problem? All that stuff. How bad is it? 90 degrees, 30 degrees? Is it? Because sometimes there's no plaque. There's no curvature, just indentation. Or you can feel the plaque, but there is no deformity. Yeah? So based on that, we decide what treatment. If you talk about shockwave, for example, based on research, 6 sessions, yeah, is enough. And then you see what, and you just gauge it and see what happens after 1 month. If it's PRP or injections, at the moment, we do our protocol, which is one intervention every month or every 2 weeks for 4 times. So you can come to the clinic once a month or once every 2 weeks.
Just you said based on research, 6 sessions, what have you.
Correct.
So let's just look at the research a little bit. Is these kind of methods, are they peer-reviewed, published papers that describe how all this is done, that, you know, if people are interested, people can look up it? So this is
This
is peer-reviewed, published?
Not all of it peer-reviewed, unfortunately. For example, PRP itself, the evidence on that initially in the old days, weak. Because they, biologically, they did it in the wrong way, in the stupid way, really. I mean, injecting it without creating a need for it, it's not going to work biologically.
Because right. It'll just get dissipated around the body.
Exactly. So you need to have a need for it. There must be an inflammation. So if you injure yourself and you do PRP straight away, it's more effective than if you come back in the chronic stage and do it. Yeah? So all this multi-layered approach, shockwave, the PRP with hyaluronic acid, prescription drugs like tadalafil, stretching devices, penile pump, they're different kind of treatment. All offer a percentage of success rate, maybe 10%, 20%, 30%. If you put them all together, they add up.
Okay.
But it's impossible to do a randomized controlled research on so many variables. Yeah. You have to have one variable.
Sure, okay. And so these are all methods that you use at the clinic?
Correct.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Are there any other sort of things that you can do? Any medications? Any vitamins that might help for this?
There is some evidence, some weak evidence, some okay evidence. For example, on the early stages, L-carnitine, acetyl L-carnitine supplement, L-carnitine. Yeah. So this sort of supplement help to reduce inflammation or help with inflammation naturally. So that's and there is some good evidence on that. Okay. The old evidence on vitamin E tablets, which they say is antifibrotic, is very weak. It doesn't do much really for the, I mean, people used to take vitamin E tablets for the plaque, but it doesn't really work.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. There's other medication, but they give you a tiny percentage, not a huge amount.
Right. What about heading the problem off before it starts? What I'm really getting at is lifestyle advice for young men. I'm thinking things like, very simple things like stopping smoking, which is good for all kinds of things.
Absolutely.
But can you? Are there others that you might suggest?
Sure. So let's start with smoking. So smoking, you get over 7,000 chemicals in one cigarette. And 70 known chemicals out of the 7,000, well known to cause cancer.
There's nothing really good about smoking that we can just point out.
So what it does, it basically damages the lining of your pipes in your penis. Damage the blood vessels. When you damage the blood vessel, you have blood flow problems. Less blood flow, less healing, basically. So that's smoking. Then you have alcohol. Alcohol causes inflammation, overuse, or too much alcohol. Oxidative stress, that's another thing, where there's lead to inflammation in the blood vessels and therefore, you know, less blood flow. Obesity, so being overweight, again, it goes down to inflammation.
Okay.
Less blood flow to the penis.
How does being too fat cause inflammation? Or that's probably quite a difficult question.
It's not difficult. Okay, so this is really interesting. Yeah. And you can chat GPT if you want, okay? So they say if you lose 1 inch waist size, you reduce the risk of ED, erectile dysfunction, by 50%. The bigger the belly, the less blood flow to the penis. When you have fat around the visceral areas in the belly section, the fat itself produces estrogen, female hormones, which lower testosterone.
Okay.
Testosterone is really important to keep the blood vessel healthy and the desired libido up.
Right. Goodness, do you ever have patients that come in and say, look, I need some help, and you say, I'm going to help you in 6 months' time. Go away and lose some weight first. Or is that like tough talk?
Tough talk. What we do, because we do like, for example, if you do six sessions with us, you come once a week. I make sure in that six sessions, I'm going to have almost like counseling sessions, really, part of the treatment. So I'll go into lifestyle. I dig deep into his lifestyle. I look at his diet, his sleep. Sleep, very important. You know, all that into sort of the whole equation. So lifestyle intervention, super important. And I tell people, if you get results from the treatment, you want to sustain them, sustain good lifestyle. Otherwise, you come back to me all the time, and you don't want to come back to me. You don't want to see me again, basically.
Yeah. If people are listening to this, and guy, men, or men's partners,
right,
and they're thinking, you know what? I think there's a potential problem here. What would your advice to them be? Like, the next thing they should do?
Rephrase this. I'm not quite...
Okay, sure. So if someone's got the problem...
Yeah.
And they're worried about it, or this could be a comment to that person's partner as well, you know, to get it sorted, if they want to get it sorted, you know, what should their course of action be?
Okay. Well, first, early intervention, early detection, you get better outcome instead of treatment. So yes, go to the NHS website, go for reputable CQC registered clinics, which we are. And
CQC, what does that stand for?
Care Commission Quality. So a clinic where they adhere to the guidelines. Yeah, it's really important, not just any clinic. And book with them a consultation. Just chat. Mm-hmm. And let's develop this sort of conversation. Really important, you know, to open that conversation is really important. And partners, it's really important. When I get sometimes couple, I love it.
Yeah, men bring their partners in.
I love it. I prefer it, to be honest, because then you have both of them in the room, and then you kind of get them to share that the weight of that problem, rather than actually, it's not a solo problem. It's a journey.
Yeah.
You know?
Very good. Okay. You mentioned a couple of good sources of information. You mentioned the NHS website.
Correct.
Are there any other places that you'd recommend people reading up, finding more about?
The NHS is one of them. You've got the Urology Association as well. You know, our clinic, we have a website called peronidisease.com. This is very old, been there for years. We update it all the time. And it's based on knowledge and research. And our brand, actually, mansmatters.com. So that's the website where it links to Peronis as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This sounds like it could potentially help a lot of men with these numbers that you mentioned. You know, potentially 20% of men in total could be suffering from this. You know, this chat and what you do can potentially help a lot of people. So thank you very much indeed for taking the time to chat.
Thank you.
Many thanks to my guest on this week's show. That's Mr. Leon Aylmishan of Man's Matters talking about Peyronie's disease. Thank you for listening and have a healthy week until next week.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Kiss me quick.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.